1 Corinthians chapter number 9, and our messages for the first part of this year are going to go along with our theme. And so I hope that you'll adjust your heart according to that. We're going to be preaching a lot about this theme here at the very beginning of the year. And what I mean by that is I hope you don't feel like you're getting tired of hearing the same thoughts. We're going to use another passage here that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But we're beginning the year with this thought in mind. And so we want to preach some messages that the Lord has put on my heart to begin the new year. And last week, we preached the message with the title of our theme in mind. We talked about Press On. And we preached from another book that Paul wrote. Paul wrote a book to the Christians at Philippi, the book of Philippians. While he was in prison, he wrote that book, and he encouraged them when he said those words, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God." Now, we're going to come back to this in just a moment. It's very important for you to think about this before we even go to the passage today. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, which we preached from last week, he made that personal, didn't he? He said, "I press toward the mark." And so I'm desiring, as a Paul did. And Paul is giving the illustration of a runner who's running in that race, and he's pressing towards the prize. He's trying to reach the goal. Well, in another book that Paul writes, the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul gives another very similar illustration. And that's why I say we want to take these illustrations that Paul has given to us, and we want to make application of these. But again, please don't get tired of hearing the same thing at the start of the year here, because we're trying to encourage you to press on. On Sunday night last week, we preached about the importance of endurance. We need to endure in the Christian life as we press on. And we talked about enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And by the way, when you were here last Sunday night, Paul used the idea or the illustration of an athlete in the passage of Scripture there in 1 Timothy as well. And he does it here again in 1 Corinthians. Paul uses the illustration of a sporting event. He uses a sporting illustration or an athletic metaphor to speak to us, those of us that are reading this book even today, to speak to us about the race that we are in as Christians. Paul is using an illustration that we can understand, an earthly illustration that we can make application of. But you're going to notice as we go through this message that he doesn't just make this earthly illustration for us to understand today. He's making this illustration even in a specific way for the church of Corinth because of athletic competition that would take place near the city of Corinth. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But Paul is using these sporting illustrations, these athletic metaphors, to talk to us about the race. We talked about one last week from Philippians chapter 3, and then last Sunday night from 1 Timothy, where he's encouraging us to endure hardness like a soldier would, and then like an athlete would as well. And he even goes a step further and talks about a farmer enduring the hardness of a sowing, and then he can see the reaping. But he does it again for us here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. We're not to be, here's what Paul's trying to encourage us. He's saying in the race that we're put on earth to run as Christians, once we trust Christ as our Savior now, we're not to be spectators. We're to run and we're to give all that we've got. We're not to be stragglers in the race, in this Christian race that God has put us in. Jesus, God, He wants us to give our best. And He wants us to finish the race. He doesn't want us just to watch. He doesn't want us to straggle towards the back. He wants us to do our very best, give our very best, and He wants us to finish the race, and He even promises a prize, doesn't He? And we're going to see that again here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Paul is encouraging us to take part in a life that is lived for the purpose of finishing the race. A life that is lived for the purpose of winning the prize. A life that is lived for Christ. And a life that is lived for eternity. A life that wins the prize is a disciplined life. And so what we want to preach this morning, and I believe this is the very thought that Paul has given to us here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, we want to preach this thought. We want to press on with discipline. We want to press on with discipline. If you're going to press on in this Christian race that God has called us to, it's going to require discipline. You're going to have to be disciplined as a Christian. The illustration of an athlete, you're going to have to be disciplined like an athlete would be disciplined. And Paul encourages us with that. Just a few introductory thoughts about discipline. When we're disciplined as a Christian, it causes us to give up certain things. If I'm to live a disciplined life, I'm going to give up things that God desires for me to give up. But if I'm going to live a disciplined life as a Christian, I'm also going to take part in certain things. So I'll give up, but I'll also take part. If I'm going to live the disciplined life that Christ wants me to live, I'm going to abstain from certain things, but there are also going to be some things that I practice in my life. Discipline requires us to deny ourselves instead of what this world perhaps would tell us to do, to pamper ourselves or to put ourselves first. It's all about God and Christ and what He would have for us to do. There was a coach that coached in the National Football League years ago. His name was Tom Landry. Have you ever heard of Tom Landry? All right, we've got Tom Landry in our building here this morning. And for those of you who don't know, we had what we called, maybe you missed it, we had what we called Look-Alike Sunday last week. And so you were supposed to take an individual that you looked alike and you or that looked like you and you were to dress like them. I'm just kidding. We didn't really have Look-Alike Sunday, but Brother Butch helped us with that. He was a look-alike for Tom Landry. If you've ever heard of Tom Landry, he coached the Dallas Cowboys many, many years ago. And he said this statement, and it has to do with the illustration of discipline. He said the job of a football coach, listen to this. He said the job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they have always wanted to be. Think about that in an illustration of discipline. He said the football coach, his job, is to make these men do what they don't want to do. I remember, and I brought it up last Sunday night by way of illustration, I remember playing sports in high school and even in my college days. There were many things when we were practicing to get ready for a game that I did not want to do. When I'm running suicides, I didn't want to do it. But the ultimate goal is that I would be able to achieve and be what I always wanted to be. Our team would be able to win. Our team would be able to get the prize. And that's why we did what we did. That's why we disciplined ourselves. So champions are made, and that's exactly what Tom Landry is trying to say. Champions are made through discipline. Champions in the Christian life, it's no different. They're made through discipline. And if we're going to win this race that Christ has put us on the earth to run, it's going to be through discipline. And so we press on with discipline. And so throughout this message this morning, I want to give you some requirements of discipline. In our Christian life, some requirements of discipline. And we're going to see one in each of the verses that we read already this morning. We're going to see one in verse 24, and then one in verse 25, and then we'll go to verse 26 and verse 27. And we'll see four requirements of discipline in our life as a Christian. Number one, I want us to notice in verse number 24, discipline needs, number one, incentive. Discipline needs incentive. Do you realize that God desires for us to run the Christian race? We can discipline ourselves to win the race, and you know He has an incentive at the end for us, doesn't He? He doesn't just leave us out there with no incentive. Discipline needs incentive, and God has given us an incentive, hasn't He? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 24. It says this, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Paul is saying, hey, there's an incentive at the end. There's a prize. A lot of times in the past, even in our bus ministry, we've always liked to use the encouragement of perhaps an incentive to encourage individuals to come to church. You know, sometimes people would say, well, why would you have to use an incentive to come to get somebody to come to church? But listen, let's not be so hasty as adults to say that we many times are not driven by incentives as well. We want something at the end. There's an incentive that drives us. And God says, hey, I've got a prize for you. And here's the good news. In a race, everybody's running, but Paul said there's one that receives that prize. Paul said there's one that's going to get to that incentive. And so notice what he says in the middle of the verse there. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. He's saying they're giving everything. They're absolutely stopping at nothing. But he says, one receiveth the prize. Then notice what he says at the end of the verse. So run that ye may obtain. So here's what Paul's saying. Because we're in a race and one person is going to get to receive that prize, he's saying run your race in such a way that you can win the prize. Run in such a way that you reach the incentive, that you reach the prize, that you reach the goal that God has for you. We've been quoting Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. We preached the message from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14 last Sunday. Remember what it says? I press toward the mark for the prize. The verse there, Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 14, when it talks about the prize, it's the same as what we're seeing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24. He's saying, so run that ye may obtain. There's a prize to be received. And he says, run so that you can get to the finish line and so that you can receive that prize. So we must run for the purpose of winning. We don't enter the race for the purpose of losing. We want to win, don't we? Back in 1996, you might remember there were Olympic Games that took place back in 1996. And there was a shoe company that came out with an ad. And here's what the ad said. And if any of you that are sitting here this morning in the service are competitive, you will understand this ad. Here's what the ad said. It said, you do not win the silver medal. So catch that one first. You do not win the silver medal. It says you lose the gold. You don't win the silver, you lose the gold. You're entering for the purpose of winning, aren't you? Man, you don't want to be second place. You don't want to be the runner-up. You want to be able to get the gold medal, the first place prize. Here's what Paul's trying to say to us. Here's what that ad is trying to tell us back from 1996 in the Olympic events. The idea of just competing is not sufficient. In the Christian life, it ought to be the same way, right? The idea of just competing is not sufficient enough. It was of utmost importance to win. I'm entering the race for the purpose of winning. But you notice there's a contrast in this verse. I want you to notice the contrast that we see in this verse, verse number 24, because remember, we're talking about how that discipline needs incentive. Notice the incentive is the prize, but notice the contrast that we must understand as a Christian. Notice this. You've got to understand this, especially if you're going to press on in your Christian race. Notice what it says in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Now, if we could think about an earthly race, it would be true that everyone that would enter would not receive the prize. Only one would get to the finish and would be able to get that gold medal or first place or whatever application it would be for that particular event. Only one would win the prize. But the contrast is the Christian race. In the earthly race, there are a lot that may enter, but only one wins the prize. But in the Christian race, we can all win the prize, can't we? We all have a prize that God has for us if we run in a disciplined way. And as we talked about last Sunday night, if you were here last Sunday night, 1 Timothy chapter number 2, if you keep the rules, if you run in a disciplined way and you keep the rules, in Paul's day, athletes that would enter an event, they would have to take an oath to abide by all of the rules of the game. And if they broke the rules, they were immediately disqualified. So what is God saying to us? God is saying, because everybody in the Christian race can win the prize, if we run that race in a disciplined way and we keep the rules that God has for us, lest we be disqualified, and we'll come to that in just a minute, as Paul describes as a castaway. God is not saying that only spiritual superheroes or spiritual superstars can win this prize. God doesn't put certain individuals on a pedestal. It's available to all of us, isn't it? And that encourages you in the Christian race. The Christian race needs an incentive. What is the incentive? The incentive is the prize, and every one of us can win it. Here's number two. Would you look at verse number 25? So number one, discipline needs incentive. But number two, discipline needs restriction. Discipline needs restriction. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 25. It says this, and every man that striveth for the mastery. We'll pause there just a minute to make sure that you understand that. He says, everyone that striveth for the mastery, or meaning this, you're seeking to excel. You're seeking to win. You want to win. You're entering the race and you want to win. Again, if you're competitive, if you've got a competitive bone in your body, you understand what he's talking about, right? I want to enter and I want to win. I'm seeking to win the race. And then he says, towards the middle of that verse, is temperate in all things. Now they do it. Notice the second part of the verse. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Here's what he's saying. Discipline needs restriction. And you know, this is the very reason why some Christians are not living a disciplined life, because they feel that the restrictions actually hinder their freedom. We see it in God's word the other way around, don't we? When we decide to be disciplined in our life, it actually brings freedom. It doesn't restrict our freedom. I think of an illustration of an individual who's worked really hard to be good at what they do. I think about a piano player. I'm not able to play a piano. I haven't disciplined myself to work real hard to practice it, but I see Miss Dawn over here playing. And I'm watching her as she puts that music in front of her, and she's able to play through it. I remember one time we were going to ask for some favorites one night, and I was talking to her about the hymn book. I said, "Are you comfortable with the hymns that might get selected?" And she says, "Well, you know," and she wasn't doing it in a boastful way now, but she said, "You know, I'm pretty comfortable probably playing through all the hymns in that book." Well, I wouldn't be able to play through one. I think about Brother Dennis over here playing. You know, they sit down and they play. I think about a friend of mine that was in college with me. We worked on stage crew together while I was in college. And you could take any tune at all that you knew, and you could hum a tune. He could sit down at the piano and he could start playing it. It didn't matter what it was. He could sit down at the piano and he could start playing it. Really good at what he did. Here's what they've done. Anybody who's successful at something like that, they've worked hard, haven't they? They might be able to play by their ear, or they might be able to play by music, but the discipline of the practice brought the freedom to be able to play, didn't it? They disciplined themselves. They worked hard so that they could be good and they could sit down and they could play. And then it gave them the freedom to be able to do it. So discipline doesn't restrict us at all. The opposite of that. When we discipline ourselves, it brings freedom to be able to do whatever it is that God desires for us to accomplish. You may have seen before, by way of illustration, you may have watched the episode on Andy Griffith before, where Opie was trying to learn to play the piano. But you might remember that episode. He was also trying to play football at the same time. Do you remember that one? So the practice of the piano was getting in the way of the football. And so he wanted to skip practice in the piano so he could go out and play football. And he didn't discipline himself. And his dad found out about it pretty soon, didn't he? He found out that he was skipping the discipline of the piano. But then remember, if you remember the episode, the football coach came into the living room and he said, "Hey, it's possible to do both." He talked about how that he was successful as an athlete, and then he sat down in the living room there on the episode and he started playing the piano. He had disciplined himself to accomplish both. And because he had disciplined himself, it actually allowed him to have the freedom to be able to do the things that he was doing. Many times we don't want to practice discipline because we feel it restricts our freedoms, but really it gives us the freedom to be able to do that which we're disciplining ourselves to accomplish. Look at what verse number 25 says. It says this of athletes. It says they are temperate in all things, meaning they've got to put some restrictions on their life. For a pianist, yes, I've got to sit down for maybe an hour or two at a time every day, and I've got to work on this. Man, I watched the Degard family while they were here. Man, I'm telling you what, they had some discipline. They're working on all those instruments. Remember the Degard family, all those instruments that they played each night when they were here? And I'm here at the church working throughout the day, and man, all you heard was those instruments, and they're working. They've got this time slot where they're practicing all their instruments, and they're disciplined about it so that they can get up on the platform and do the work that God's called them to do. It gave them the freedom to be able to get up and know that I can accomplish this. That's what the athlete does. He practices self-control. And can I say it's the same for a Christian? Anyone who is greatly used of God are not only people that are under God's control, but they're also people of self-control. You've got to be an individual that is temperate. As a matter of fact, we're talking about that on Wednesday night right now. If you come to our Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, we're going through the fruit of the Spirit, and we're right now on temperate, and we're talking about temperance, and we're talking about self-control. That's what God desires in the Christian race. That word temperate that we see there in verse number 25 has the idea of a strength that is within us. A strength that allows us to control ourselves so that we don't go off blindly doing whatever we want to do, but we have the temperance and self-control to discipline ourselves. That word temperate has the idea of mastering oneself. instead of giving in to the impulses and indulgences and emotions and appetites that many times our flesh wants to give into. For the athlete, it required strict training, didn't it? For the athlete, it would require a specific diet. They would have to restrict themselves. I remember even in high school, our coaches were telling us to make sure we were very careful what we ate right before a game. Man, he'd say, you got to make sure when school comes to an end, before that game starts, you're careful about what you put in your body before we play the game. Why? Because we want to win. We want to be able to win the prize. And so you go through that training and you restrict yourself even with your diet. In Paul's days, athletes would take part in the games that were called the Isthmian Games. These games were games where athletes throughout Greece would come and they would participate in these games. I told you we would come back to this in just a minute because the city of Corinth is very important. 10 miles outside of Corinth is where this arena, this stadium, would hold these games. Every 2 years they would have these Isthmian Games in the springtime there just outside of Corinth. They would compete in various competitions. Even this is in Paul's day now. That's why I believe he was led to write these encouraging words to the church of Corinth, because he realized that because of those Isthmian Games, they could understand what he was telling them as an illustration, as an application. Here's what's unique about those games. They were a little bit different than our Olympic Games today, because they would compete in athletic events, but they would also compete in poetry events. Imagine that, as an Olympic event, a poetry event. And they would even have musical events that they would be able to compete in. But here's what was true about those games. Winning for those athletes that would enter and those musicians that would enter in to these competitions, it was everything. And because it was everything, they disciplined themselves. They put restrictions on themselves so that they could win the games. As a matter of fact, many of them would come to Corinth months before those games were played so that they could train. Part of the requirement to even be involved in these Isthmian Games in Paul's day was that they had to train for 10 months in order to be able to even participate. And they had to submit their training program for review. That training program included long hours of training and a strict diet. Day after day, this training would take place. And when the time of the games would come, they would have to certify that they were faithful in their training. But then these games even went a step further. Now remember, winning was everything, so they tried to restrict themselves. They tried to discipline themselves. In order to enter in the Isthmian Games, you had to train for 10 months and you had to verify that you had done that, but you also had to go a step further. You had to keep yourself morally clean in order to participate. You say, well, how would they know if somebody had done that? Well, before the games would begin, a master of ceremonies would get up. And he would begin to shout to the spectators that were gathered in that big arena. And he was trying to see if anyone could accuse any of the participants of a crime or even depravity in their moral life. And if they did not meet all of those requirements, they were disqualified. Now, I said all that to say this. If in Paul's day, in order to participate in the Isthmian Games, they would go to that length to win, how much more important is it for us as a Christian to discipline ourselves in self-control, put some restrictions on ourselves so that we win the race that God has before us? Notice what the Bible says at the end of verse number 25. Here's another great thought that we want to understand about Paul's day. Notice what it says. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. In the Isthmian Games, when they would win a prize of a wreath that would be made out of pine or some other source, and they would be able to put that up on their head. That was the prize that they won. It was a corruptible prize, an earthly prize, a temporal prize that would fade away. But what is Paul telling us as a Christian? We're to put restrictions on our lives because there's an incentive. There's a prize that we can win. And notice what is true about this prize. He says, but we, an incorruptible prize. We as Christians are working for a heavenly prize, aren't we? We're working for an eternal prize, and it's reserved for us in heaven as we strive for that prize. So what we need, and I certainly hope you wouldn't take this in a way in which you would be offended, but really what Paul is trying to say is, in our Christian lives, we need less laziness, and we need more discipline in our Christian lives, not worrying so much about pampering ourselves, but denying ourselves, restricting ourselves, and prepared to make sacrifices for the God that we serve and the crown that we are trying to win. Number one, in verse 24, discipline needs incentive. There's a prize at the end. Discipline needs restriction, self-control. But look at verse 26, if you would. I want you to notice discipline needs direction. Discipline needs direction. Notice the direction. Here's verse number 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul gives two word pictures here. Two word pictures that we can understand. And by the way, both of these word pictures show the direction that Paul has established in his mind that he's going. It establishes his direction. Discipline needs direction. And so Paul is now going to give a personal application. In the two verses that we have already read, verse number 24 and verse number 25, he is speaking to Christians and the people there in Corinth as a whole. But what does he do in verse number 26? He changes it to now a personal application, doesn't he? Notice what the very first word is in verse number 26. He says, I. Paul gives a personal application that is traceable to his own life. As a matter of fact, if you would read through verse 26 and verse number 27, you would see the personal pronoun I five different times. Now think back to the message we preached last Sunday morning. The Bible verse that we are memorizing. Philippians 3 verse 14. What's the first word? I press toward the mark. Paul said, hey, it's a personal thing. It's a personal application that I want to be said that it's traceable in my life. That's exactly what Paul does here in verse number 26. He says, I therefore so run. And he says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. When I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He gives five personal applications for his own life. And he's saying this, Church of Corinth, those that are Corinth, Christians in Corinth, you have to make your own decision, but this is the decision I make. We said it last week in the book of Joshua. When Joshua encourages the people, he says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But Joshua lets them know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Paul's saying, hey, you've got your own choice, but this is what I intend to do. Have you made it personal in your life? I intend to discipline myself so that I can press on. That's what Paul's saying here. Paul is saying that discipline needs direction. What are the two word pictures that he gives? Number one, he gives the picture of a runner who's running and he's focused on something. He's focused on the finish line. Notice what the Bible says at the very beginning of verse number 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. He says, I'm running focused on the finish line. I'm going straight to it. I've got a purpose in mind when I'm running. I'm not running aimlessly is what Paul's trying to say. I know why I'm running, and I know where I'm running. I heard an illustration of a boy. He was a little boy, and he was trying to learn how to ride a bike. And you'll see at the end of this illustration that it's a wonderful illustration for us as Christians. He was trying to learn how to ride a bike, and he's just a young boy. And his sister was there in the driveway while they were working to try to ride the bike, and he would many times fall down. Man, he'd get back up and he'd brush himself off and he'd try to start again, and sometimes he'd get moving just a little bit and then he'd have to put his feet down. But boy, he didn't quit. He kept on going. And then at one moment, his sister looked over at him and he's wobbling back and forth on that bike. And his arms are flailing and he's trying his best to steady himself and get that bike moving. And he looked at his sister and he said to his sister, he says, I'm moving. I'm really moving. And his sister looked back at him and she said, yes, you're moving. She says, but you're not going anywhere. He was wobbling back and forth on that bike and he had his arms moving. He might have had his legs moving, But she says, you're not going anywhere. You know, as Christians, sometimes we can do that very thing. We can do that very thing as a Christian. We may not know why we're running the race or where we're even going in this race. God wants us to know why we're doing it. God wants us to know where we're running as a Christian. Some Christians can get to the place by way of application where they may even feel like the prize that I'm running for, I'm not able to win it. I'm not able to get to it. Or maybe perhaps that the prize I'm running for is not even worth running in the Christian life. It is worth it though, isn't it? We do need to have a direction so that we can finish. Some may start well, but along the way they may get distracted by sins or maybe by pleasures. They maybe get tired out along the way. They may have to face hindrances, whether it be the devil or others that come along and try to stumble them on their race. But Paul says, I'm running not as uncertainly. I'm running not aimlessly, but I've got the finish line in view. And then he gives another word picture. Notice it really quickly here in verse number 26. He said, not as one that beateth the air. Paul is giving us the illustration of a boxer. Like a boxer that would beat at the air, we would refer to them as a shadow boxer, wouldn't we? He's using the illustration of a shadow boxer. He's saying, I'm not like a boxer who shies away from the opponent like a shadow boxer would he miss his punches or just wildly flail his arms. But he said, I'm engaged, and I'm engaged to the end. Just like a boxer would be, I'm trying to land my punches. And what does a boxer do when he tries to land his punches? Athletic illustration here. He tries to make them count, doesn't he? He's not just wildly flailing his arms. He's trying to make every punch count. In Paul's day, boxing was a very brutal event. The boxer would have their knuckles wrapped with leather straps. These boxers in Paul's day many times would box for 4 hours straight. And the competition would not come to an end until somebody was knocked out or somebody would signal by raising an index finger that they had given up. With both of these word pictures, with both of these illustrations, Paul is saying that he's running his race as it should be done. He's got a direction in mind. And it brings us to the last verse. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 27. So far we've seen this. Discipline needs incentive. Discipline needs restrictions, some self-control. Discipline needs direction. Paul says, I'm aiming to the finish line. I'm trying to make everything count like the boxer would with his punch. I'm not just flailing aimlessly. I'm trying to make it count for God. I've got a direction in mind. But then notice the last thing that Paul says here in verse number 27. Discipline needs commitment as well. Paul's made a commitment. He says, I want to run for Christ. And I want to make sure that I'm not disqualified from this race. I want to be committed to that which I've started. To commit to finish the race that God has for me. Notice verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What does Paul say in the very beginning of that verse? But I keep under my body. He's saying, I discipline my body. You realize as Christians, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to discipline our body. Then he uses another word right after that little phrase. He uses the word subjection. Notice what it says in verse number 27. I keep under my body and bring into subjection. My body into subjection. The word subjection has the idea in that verse of leading even into slavery. You say, well, what would Paul mean by that? Leading into slavery, meaning I'm a slave for Jesus. I'm a slave for Christ. He brings his body into the slavery or the subjection of the Holy Spirit. He realizes that his body is not always subject to the Spirit. Would you say that's true of you without saying obviously out loud? We're not going to raise hands, but in your own heart. Would you say that's true that our bodies are not always subject to the Holy Spirit? Sometimes our bodies give into our flesh, and if we feed our old nature, we feed that old sinful nature, it will overcome us, won't it? And what Paul is trying to encourage us with is to say, I want to be committed to subject my body to what the Holy Spirit would lead me to do. If we feed the flesh instead of fighting it, it will overcome us, won't it? So we must allow our bodies. Paul said, I want to discipline my body. I want to have control there. I want to have a commitment to start this race and to finish it to the very end. Now we know Paul did finish it. But when Paul was writing this scripture, he still had time on earth, didn't he? And Paul was letting us know, my desire is to allow my body to be controlled for the purpose of that which is godly, for the purpose of godliness. Removing anything from his life that would impede spiritual progress, would cause him distraction, would cause a hindrance, would cause him to stumble along the way. So by a way of application, are you controlling your body or is it controlling you? Are you controlling your appetites or are they controlling you? Don't give in to the sins of the flesh. Don't give in to our lust. Don't give in to the desires of our flesh. Paul says, I want to discipline my body. I want there to be control there. So Paul said, no selfish plan or no selfish desire or no selfish ambition would be allowed to distract me. Paul says, I've got the end in view. He was totally dedicated. He was totally committed to the task for which God had called him to do. God's task for us is that we would be useful and that we would live a life that was pleasing to God, not our own selves. And then to finish the verse, notice what Paul says at the very end. This is a warning to all of us, every single one of us. Let's take heed lest we fall, is what the Bible says. And notice what he says at the end of verse 27. He says, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is saying this, why am I committed? Why do I want to make sure there are restrictions in my life? Why do I want to discipline myself? Why do I want to make sure that I'm running this race the very best that I can? Because I don't want to be disqualified, Paul says. I don't want to be disqualified from this race. That would be the fatal result of indiscipline, wouldn't it? Remember, we're talking about pressing on with discipline. The fatal result of indiscipline would be that I was disqualified from the race. But God, Paul's saying, it's not that Paul is saying that he would lose his salvation. We have to make sure to remember that. It's not that Paul's saying I'd be disqualified from eternity. It's not that I'm lose my salvation. But Paul is saying this. He would not be able to be used to preach like he is. Paul's committed his life to preach the Word of God. And he says, I don't want to be disqualified. I don't want to compromise my continuing in the ministry. Paul's saying, I don't want to lose rewards. I don't want to stand before God when he comes and be ashamed at his coming. I don't want to be useless. Or another way that we can describe what Paul is trying to say here when he uses this word castaway is the idea of being put on a shelf. Being put on a shelf. Not to be used of God anymore. Now let me say this by way of application. We'll be done in just a moment. If Paul could say that, wouldn't it be true that every one of us could say it today? Lest that by any means, when I've ministered to somebody else, lest that by many means when I've served the Lord, lest that by any means when I've taught a Sunday school class, or I've been a soul winner and reached somebody else for Jesus Christ, that I myself could be a castaway. I myself could be disqualified. I could no longer be used of God in His service. I could be put on a shelf. I could no longer receive the reward that He has for me. So the question today is this, as we press on, how will you finish your race? Now, I have no idea how long you have left in your race. You have no long idea how long I have left in my race. But I do know God wants us to finish it. And I do know God wants us to do our best. So how will you finish your race? Maybe perhaps you would say tonight or this morning, I'm not as disciplined maybe as what I ought to be. By the way, there are many things that we ought to be disciplined at. We ought to be disciplined at reading God's word and prayer and giving to the Lord and opportunities to witness for the Lord and in a place of service for Him as well. It's more than just a casual walk with the Lord, isn't it? It's more than just a casual dedication to godliness. It's about living a life where we're disciplined. Have you had a time where you've surrendered to the Lord fully and completely? You know, we'll be glad in eternity if we lose our life here on earth for Christ, won't we? We'll be glad in eternity if we said, I made a decision one day when I was here and preaching from God's Word on this thought of pressing on. We'll be glad in eternity that we pressed on, won't we? We'll be glad when we get to the finish line. Let's not go to heaven empty-handed. Let's press on. Let's allow God to say to us, as He did to Paul, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's receive that prize that fadeth not away, that the Bible says is reserved for us in heaven. Let's receive that prize. So perhaps maybe someone here today would need to just ask God for grace to remove whatever it is that's hindering your discipline. Maybe to remove anything that's distracting you. And to press on, as Paul said, in a life of discipline for Christ. Can I say this really quickly as we finish? This passage that Paul is dealing with here in the church of Corinth, he's talking about a Christian race, so he's talking about individuals that are Christians. There may be somebody here today that's never trusted Christ as their Savior. Maybe you say, you know, I've never even really entered myself into that race because I've never trusted Christ as Savior. And today it's as simple, if God is speaking to your heart, it's as simple as acknowledging the fact that you're a sinner. Realizing there's a punishment for your sin, but God loved you so much that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us. And if we'll admit that we're a sinner and we'll believe what He did for us to pay the price for our sins, and we'll call on Him, we'll cry out to Him for mercy, we'll tell Him that we're a sinner, we believe that He died for us, and we'll ask Him to be our Savior, the Bible says He'll save us today. And at that point forward, you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and you are running the Christian race that God desires for you to do your best in, and God desires for you to finish. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today could be the day of your salvation. But if there has been a time in which you've trusted Christ, you're in the Christian race. How well are you going to finish? How well are you going to run this race that God has for us? Let's press on, and let's do it with discipline in our lives. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? We're going to ask Miss Dawn to come to our piano. And at the end...